As we come to the Lord, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we just pause in this moment to make room in our heart for You, God. By Your Spirit, may You tear down any walls that we might have built up in our hearts and in our minds that might keep us from seeing You, God. That might keep us from feeling Your light and love. That might hinder us from receiving Your word this day. God, we want to lift up our missionary partners, Rachel and Rocky Bliss. May You continue to bless them and their ministry, and may Your name be glorified in the work that they do. God, we lift them up to You. God, we also want to lift up young Liam, who went through surgery, and it sounds like while still immobilized in a little baby wrap, he's off ventilation. And so, God, we just ask You to pour out Your healing mercies on Liam. And be with them and be with the family and help them to know that even here in this moment, in this time, that You are there, that You are with them, that they are not alone, that Your love, grace, and mercy surrounds them. We also want to lift up the Kuipers and the birth of their daughter on Monday. Baby's out of the NICU, breathing well and growing. And so that's a blessing, and we lift them up to You and ask that Your spirit be washed over them as well. And God, we lift up a special prayer for Amelia and the Briggs as they celebrate the birth of their daughter last night. What a joy it is to see new life in Your kingdom, God. God, we lift up these young families to You and just give You all thanks and praise. We also want to lift up the Dose family as they continue to walk through the medical minefield that they're going in. May Your mercy just pour out over them and help them to know that, again, that they are not alone, that even here in this moment, You are with them. We want to lift up Janet Miles, Lance Bonham, special prayer of recovery for Nancy Ryberg as she recovers from her surgery, and look forward to seeing what next steps are there. God, we just give You thanks and praise for her and her life and for her steadfastness to You, God. And we just want to lift up Paul and the family as they support her well and remain faithful to You while doing so. We also want to lift up Peg Barr, Pam and Jim's sister, who is in Iowa Falls in rehab. Strengthen her, guide her, heal her, oh God. And we do want to lift up the Schultz family. As they're on vacation, we just pray that You are able to meet them where they're at and fill them with a new energy and a replenishment of joy that can only come from You, God. Replenishment of peace that can only come from You, God. It's that peace that goes beyond understanding. So God, we just ask that You just fill them in these days of vacation, these days of rest, these days of Sabbath that they have these next week or so. We just thank You for Your call on that family and for their ministry. And God, just ask You to meet us here in this moment. Again, we call on You to tear down any walls that we might have built up that keep us from hearing your word more clearly. Whatever it might be, God, by your power and your strength and your might, help us to move beyond those afflictions in our heart that darken the joy that we should have in you, God. And by your light and your presence, we see a hope for tomorrow that is brighter than anything of this world. God, we just call on you to meet us here, for it's in your name. Amen. How are you guys doing? Good? That's one of those questions that we throw out to each other. Hey, how's it going? And a lot of times we get, good, pretty good, but really, are you okay? Are you okay? There's some leaders of old that would ask that question in a little bit different way. They might say, how is it with your soul? Getting to the core of our spiritual health. How are we really doing? And the reality is some might be in a season of plenty and feel genuinely pretty good. And that's awesome. And we want to celebrate that. But we have to recognize in a room this size with this amount of people and those that potentially watching online that there might be some in a season of deep pain, of loss, of physical and spiritual struggle. And so we wonder, are you okay? And then for quite a many, there might be others who are somewhere in the middle. Maybe it's not like super great or good, but we're not doing too bad either. We're just kind of floating through life in the middle. No matter where you're at today, it is my prayer that this message that God's put onto my heart meets you today right where you are at with an encouragement, with an encouraging word that's for God's glory and for our good. In Sunday school, we talked a little bit about we're kind of coming to the end of fun summer. We've got a lot of families taking advantage of vacation days here before fall hits, school starts, harvest, all the fun things. When we start to get into those times of year, it's hard to keep our head above water at times. And thinking about that reminded me of a short little video that I saw. And Pat, if you want to show that here real quick. Our little turtle friend is struggling with the waters of life that are attacking him in that moment. You see him struggling to push forward. Every once in a while, he strains his little neck up, try to get a grasp of air, to suck it down, and try to trudge through the rushing waters. When life really gets going and life really starts to happen, we can kind of feel like that sometimes. I know I've felt like that at times where I'm just trying to keep my head above water and keep moving forward. And it's hard at times. It's hard because we live in a world that is broken. And it seems like those moments seem to happen quite often. And we don't have to go far to see real hurt in this world. The media does a good job of getting that in front of our face pretty often and regularly. We see pain, we see war, we see destruction, we see hurt things, we see hurt people. This morning, I went to go check something, and obviously I see a little clip, and I think it was in Idaho. You know, somebody struggling to keep their head above water went to a weapon and took whatever hurt that he was feeling out on individuals who knew nothing about it, and there was a mass shooting. A couple people perished in that event. Real pain happens. But whether we're on watching the news or scrolling our phone and media, sometimes those stories are often about other people and other places, and we can have a heart for them, and we pray for them, but we don't really have that direct connection to what that hurt is or means. But there's a reality about life that Jesus kind of warns us about and assures us with. It's a thing that he says will happen. John 16:33, he has this little sentence in there. It says, "In the world you will have tribulation." In this world we will experience hurt. We will experience loss. We will experience frustration, pain. We will experience people talking negative or bad about us or making up untruths about us and sharing that with others. We will experience hard things in our life. As we, this might be too fresh or too new, but you know, we might be at a conference for a week only to find out that the world around us is broken, and when we go to load up, we don't have a trailer. Real hurt happens. And we don't necessarily go out and seek it. We don't go out looking for hurt when we wake up in the morning. But unexpectedly, hurt sometimes does find us. I'm reminded of one of my friends, growing up, still one of my great friends to this day. Her name's Amy. She was out visiting her husband's family in North Carolina, and they camper, so they were at a camper spot, and she's just walking along a path, and along that path, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, bam, a rattlesnake just gets her in the foot. She didn't go out searching for that pain and hurt, but hurt and pain sometimes do find us. And when it does happen, physically, emotionally, spiritually, will we be ready to handle it? Will we be ready to handle it? And in many cases, that answer is no. You might have heard the statement, God won't give you more than you can handle. The world will. The world will give you more than you can handle. Satan will give you more than you can handle. That's part of his playbook. He gives us more than we can handle, so we turn to other things to try and compensate for that hurt, that loss. We try to ignore it. We try to hide it. We try to push it down or look for ways to cover it up. But we know that in God, we have a Father in heaven. We have a Savior in Jesus Christ. And we have the indwelling of his Holy Spirit that says that we might not be able to handle it, but you know who can? The Creator of everything. God, the one who has the power to overcome the world. I mentioned Challenge just a minute ago, but we were at Challenge with a handful of high school students and leaders, and the theme was even here. And this was a week-long walk through a few of the Psalms that reminded students and leaders alike that even here, right where we are, even in our mess, God sees us. God knows us, hears us, cares for us, loves us, and redeems us through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross and in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, and by the wonder-working power of the Holy Spirit gives us life, eternal life. If we were in a southern church, somebody might have said amen. One of the speakers that week was Carlton Harris. Does that name ring a bell to anybody? Carlton Harris? He happens to be the president of the EFCA. He's a very chill dude. He's not one of those corporate guys that feels like they're far off and you can't have a conversation with. He will have a 30-minute conversation with you before he even tells you what he does. He just loves people. He loves the Lord, and he loves bringing the gospel wherever he goes. He was one of the speakers in a litany of speakers that week, and he spoke over Psalm 13. And God really spoke to me as we read Psalm 13 together as a group, as he read it to us during the message, and as he explained a few things about that he saw in Psalm 13 that might meet folks where they are at in their life. And so that really touched me, and I've been like going back to Psalm 13 in the 2 weeks since, and I just felt like God was putting on my heart to have us go there as well. So we're going to be diving into Psalm 13 here in just a second. And Psalm 13 naturally breaks into three sections that, when looked at, become an invitation for us as trials inevitably fall on us. In the world of family therapy or couples therapy, there have been studies and articles written about the unspoken rules of unhealthy or dysfunctional relationships. And while there are many unspoken rules, unspoken actions that fall under this umbrella, I want us to focus on three. And these were three that Carlton also highlighted, but these three were unspoken rules of unhealthy or dysfunctional relationships. One of them was don't talk. Secrets are kept. Real issues are swept under the rug instead of discussed out loud and shown the light of day. It's an effort to keep up appearances for the world's sake around us, but at the same time, the reality is we're breaking inside. Second unspoken rule is don't feel. Throughout history, we were told that, especially as young men, sadness, anger, and fear to be pushed down and ignored so we can get the job done or so we can do the next thing. But what we're really doing is teaching those in our families, and especially children, that their emotions don't matter. Push those down so you can accomplish the next goal. What ends up happening is we don't know how to handle that, so oftentimes we cover those feelings in an effort to try and dull or nullify those feelings with temporary things. And those temporary things can become lasting things that drive us away from God if we let them. And the third one is don't trust. Broken promises and unpredictable behavior teach family members that relying on anyone can be dangerous. We're told to not trust and to hold it in and to don't talk about it, don't share it, don't rock the boat. But when we do that, we end up losing trust for the people around us and what that might do for a young person as they start to have friends or they start to have relationships, or maybe they start to inquire, is this person husband material or wife material? They're carrying that distrust with them into these new relationships. And that's never a good thing. So in contrast to the way of handling hard times, disappointment, fear, and feelings of abandonment that a dysfunctional relationship might hold, let's look at Psalm 13. So before we even get to reading the actual words of the psalm, we see the title, How Long, O Lord? And then you get the subheading there, To the Choir Master, a Psalm of David. Meaning that this is deeply personal to David, what we're about to read. This is deeply personal. It's an honest look at where he was at physically, mentally, and spiritually, emotionally, all of it. We're going to see where he was at in this moment. But while, take note that while it was deeply personal for David, hard things, it was never private. David chose to share this and give it light and breath. This is a lesson that ought not be overlooked and comes before we even have read the first line of this lament, of this psalm. David chose to talk with purpose, intentionality, and realness in this psalm. Now, this is a psalm of a lament, and generally, a lament is a sad, pain-filled song that pours out one's suffering and hurt to a God who loves and knows them, all while pointing to an ultimate hope, that is found in him rather than our current circumstance. It's a lament is a psalm that says, even here, while I don't see it or feel it, I trust in God and God alone. Psalm 13 is a lament, like we stated before, and it has three sections. So the first section is going to be verse 1 and 2, and we're going to title this one the complain section. Verse 3 and 4 will be titled the ask section, and then the final 5 and 6 will be the trust section. As we read this psalm today, I want you to listen for these three distinct sections of King David's lament. Psalm 13. How long, O Lord? To the choir master, a psalm of David. If you've got your Bible, you can turn to Psalm 13, hold it in your hands, feel it, engage with it, or the words will be up on the screen as well. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the days? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. This is a psalm of David to the choir master. Amen. So let's consider these first two verses. It's an invitation to complain. In these first two verses, how many times does David cry out, how long? Anybody catch that? How many times did he say, how long? Four. In two verses, he's crying out to God, how long, O Lord? How long will you hide? How long must I take counsel? How long shall my enemy? We don't know exactly when this psalm was written or for what part of David's life it specifically is responding to, but we do know a little bit about King David. And so after being anointed as a future king when he was a late teenager, early 20-year-old, somewhere in that range, and gaining favor for his character and ability. So this young man was anointed king, was starting to gain a certain amount of respect for this character and for his ability. He was a great shepherd. He struck down lions and bears. We also know that he struck down the great Goliath with a sling and a stone. And he rose to a powerful military leader under then King Saul. And as he gained popularity amongst the people, as he gained acclaim, as things were trending for him, the dysfunction in King Saul started to rear its ugly head. And he was jealous of David. He was jealous of his attention that he was garnering. He was jealous of everybody looking up to him as this great military leader, this great man of character. And so he starts to devise plans to eliminate this threat, to kill David. And so David flees. David's on the run. King Saul's henchmen are after him. He spends time in the wilderness. He spends time in caves. This once anointed king is now running for his life. You can imagine him being at some point saying, how long, God? Like, what is going on? I thought I was the anointed king. Why am I in a cave by myself running from people who are trying to kill me? How long, oh God? We also know that once he has achieved his king status, one of his kids turns on him, Absalom, and tries to take him out as well. And again, he's on the run. His own flesh and blood trying to take his power. And so again, you can see where you might say, how long? Oh God, how long? And we also know he wasn't without his moral failures as well. His little action with Bathsheba, he gets caught in that adultery, and in his pain, in his sorrow, in his humiliation, in his frustration, you might could hear him somewhere in the corner saying, how long, oh God, am I going to be struggling with this? How long? David had many opportunities in life to feel abandoned, to feel hurt, to feel disappointment, to feel pain. And so we know that he had time to feel these emotions of Psalm 13 as well. You can read about those stories in 1 and 2 Samuel, if you would like to, you know, touch up on King David's life there a little bit. But you can see where you say, how long, O Lord? Psalm 6, just a couple before that, another Psalm of David, you get an idea of the depth of his emotion when he goes to God with the pain and the searing pain of his life. Psalm 6, starting in verse 6, he says, I am weary with my moaning. Catch this. Every night I flood my bed with tears. Oof. I drench my couch with weeping. My eyes waste away because of grief. It grows weak because of all my foes. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. And then, for the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. His pain is deep. His pain is rich. We don't often talk about wetting our bed with tears. He was going through it. He was feeling it. He was at the end of his rope. And so in verse 1 and 2, when he's crying out, how long, he's given us an invitation to complain to God. Not about God, but about our circumstances to God, because what we learn later on in this psalm is he knows that the one that has the strength to be able to do anything about this right now is his Creator. So he's crying out, how long? This is a guy that, you know, killed bears, lions, Goliaths, and led armies, in touch with his tears and willing to share it with a good God. He's not holding it in. He's not pushing it down. He's not trying to bury it. He's bringing it to light, because light will disinfect all those hurts. If you move over to verses 3 and 4, we get to the section where we get an invitation to ask. So David has complained. David has shown his passion, his hurt. He is, you know, coming to the place where he no longer can withstand what's going on around him. And he knows he's getting close to the end of what he can handle. And so he cries out to God once again. He says, consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. His humanity and his pride and everything is just, he is stripped away at this moment. The sparkle in his eye is not there at this time. He is hurt. He is at the end of his rope. And he's crying out to the guys like, answer me, oh God. He's asking for God to meet him where he's at and to light up his eyes once again with the light of life that can only come from our Creator. And then he says, lest my enemies say I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. He is known to be a faithful follower of the one true God. And in this prayer, in this moment, he's not just praying for himself now. He's saying, God, people know that I am faithful to you. Don't let them think they have victory over me, because then they'll think they have victory over you. Don't let them rejoice, because he is shaken in his humanity, shaken in his faith. Philippians 4:4. My bookmark fell out. I'll go right to it. Okay. Yeah. Come on. Philippians 4:4, Paul is reminding the church to ask, really. And it's a reminder for us as well. Here in chapter 4, verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guide your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So here we have David at the end of his rope, calling on God with boldness to light up his eyes, give him that sparkle back that can only come from a loving God. And so he's asking, he's pleading, he's crying out that God answer these prayers. But at this time, he doesn't have answer to his prayers. His status hasn't changed. His circumstances haven't changed. But as we move into verses 5 and 6, his perspective is grounded. And that is a good thing, and that's something for us to really take heart and to lean into. He says, but I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. David's circumstance hasn't changed. He's still hurt. He's still broken. He's still confused and frustrated. And at the end of his rope. But he's saying, even here, I'm going to put my trust in you, God. I can't feel it. I don't see it. But I'm going to put my trust in you, in your steadfast love. And in my heart, even though I'm in pain, even though I might be humanly heartbroken, in my heart, I shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to you, Lord, because you have dealt bountifully with me. Circumstances didn't change, but his heart posture was such that the only thing he could think to do and know to do was to worship God, to give glory to God, to put his trust, hope, and faith in a loving God. Psalm 30, y'all probably know this well, but David's song in Psalm 30 has this line, weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Instead of relying on a temporary fix, like our world tends to do, you know what those fixes are. Drugs, alcohol, sex, pornography, relationships, unhealthy relationships, sexualized relationships. scrolling to numb our brains just unendingly in social media, isolating, pulling away, all those things that we do at times to try and cover. What a joy it is to be reminded that even in our hard times, even though we may be in a season of weeping, that will only last for the night, because joy comes in the morning. Gives you this vision of Good Friday, right? Jesus Christ tried and convicted in this sham. Event takes lashes, takes beatings, takes ridicule, not because of who he is, but because of who we are, because of our brokenness, because of our sin, because of our shame. He takes that to the cross. And while on the cross with the crown of thorns on his head and nails in his hands and his feet, you hear Jesus, who is truly God, truly divine, yet truly man, as he's taking on the full weight of sins of the world, he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? In that moment, we read that as God's head is turned away and he's fully receiving the weight of our iniquity, he cries out, he laments in that moment, and then we hear that he breathes his last. Lamenting in the pain, crying out to God on Friday leads to Saturday. The quietness, the uncertainty, the tears of his followers that are equally wrought over the loss of this guy that they've been with for 3 years, learning from, seeing signs, wonders, and miracles. They're grieving the loss of their Jesus, but there's also uncertainty about what's next in their life. There's fear for these people. The same individuals that took the life of Jesus, are they going to come after me? Are they going to take my life? And so they're asking, you can imagine that on Saturday they're asking God, what's going on? What's going to happen? What next? But then on Sunday, the stone has been rolled away. The tomb is empty. Jesus lives. Jesus overcomes death with life, overcomes darkness with light. We are given new life. And Jesus says that all those who profess that I am the Lord and believe in their heart that I rose from the dead, those folks will be saved. We hear that in Romans. That if we profess the name Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of our life, and we believe in our heart that he rose from the dead, we will be saved. That nothing in this life can separate us from our Creator God, because the Holy Spirit dwells within that person. That's a promise of Jesus. I will send a helper for all who believe. We are connected by one Spirit, the Spirit of God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit dwells within us and binds us together in one heart and one love that is the love of God. If you think back to that funny little turtle video from the beginning of the message, there's two perspectives there. I don't know if you caught it. There's two perspectives. There was one of the turtle trying to keep his head above water, and there was one from the person taking a video of this turtle. friends. We are brothers and sisters united in Christ Jesus. Let us not be like the person watching, taking a video of that turtle. Let us be a church that reaches out to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Let us be a church that knows that in this life we will have tribulation, so we check in on each other with compassion, with grace, with hope, and with love. That's why I'm so excited about the Journeyman Ministry. It's an opportunity for men to be intentional about that aspect of life, to bear with each other with the unity of the Spirit, to pray for each other, to pray with each other. We have a women's class that does that. We have Sunday school classes that do that with each other. But let's be a church that outside these walls, that we're bold enough in our faith to proclaim the gospel to those around us with an air of compassion, grace, hope, and love, that even here where they are at, that they are not alone. Somebody needs to hear that today. That they are loved, that they are cared for, and that in Jesus Christ they have a Savior who loves them more than they will ever understand or know. If you flip over your insert, there's an opportunity for a personal prayer of lament. Like I said, many of us might be in a good spot, and we don't have stuff that we need to let out of those cages that we've built around our hurt. But some of us might have something that has been nagging at us that we haven't fully let go of. I want to give you an opportunity to, in that first step, to answer that question. My God, here is what is really going on. Not the facade I try to show, but what is really going on in my life. And think about what that might be. And if you have a pen or paper, or pen or pencil, you can write that down on your paper or do it later in your devotion. And then think about, my God, help me with this intentional ask. What are you asking God to do in your life? How do you want God to be revealed to you in your life? Be intentional. Ask God. Cry out to God, just like we saw David do. And then number three, my God, I trust you because. We saw that in David's lament. He complained, he asked, but it was always pushing forward to the reality of the hope that we have in a good God who loves us and cares for us. A good God who's conquered death with life, thanks to Jesus Christ. A good God who is transforming us from the inside out by the powerful work of the Holy Spirit. Write those things down. My God, I trust you because. So for the next handful of seconds while we get adjusted up here to sing our last song, take a moment. We call these Selah moments. You might read in Psalms where it says Selah after every couple verses. Pastor Dave touched on that a couple weeks ago, but that word Selah is an intentional pause in the action. And one of the things you can do within that intentional pause is to reflect on what you had just heard. And so in this Selah moment, reflect through these three questions of what you just heard.